In month 8 of the I Commit to Pray campaign, the Voice of the Martyrs is praying persecuted Christians are able to rejoice in their suffering. Acts chapter 5 describes how the jealous Sadducees had the apostles arrested because they had been healing the sick and drawing great crowds. The apostles were flogged and ordered not to speak of Jesus in public. Upon their release, they celebrated. Not because of their freedom, they rejoiced, verse 41 says, because God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for His name. For more on the I Commit to Pray campaign, go online to persecution.com.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
I want you to go back with me to the book of Yeshua, Joshua. Amen. Go back with me to the book of Joshua. Amen. The book of Joshua, the 6th chapter. The 6th chapter. Very familiar verse of scripture. So familiar that you all probably could preach it to me. Amen. Chapter 6, verse number 20. We're going to read that one verse, but we're going to deal with the entirety of the lesson that we need to learn here on Jericho. Amen? Amen. Amen. Verse 20, when you have it, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. So now let us read this in concert. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Amen. Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. And I want to use today for forethought just a title, topic, tag to this message, obtaining the promise through obedience and praise. Amen. We've been talking kind of about obtaining the promises of God, and we talked about how we had to consecrate on last week and how God would bring us into the land of promise and how we had to be obedient and stuff. And it's the same message, the same thing said in a different way. Amen. With a new story. So through obedience and praise, we can obtain the promise. Amen. The backdrop of the lesson today is that when Joshua and the children of Israel, when they came into the land of promise after, remember, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, 40 years of nothing but going around in a circle. Amen. They could have taken a 3-day journey into the promised land. That's all it took them. And they could have achieved this without a problem if they had faith. Amen. Now, I didn't say that they wouldn't have some adversity, but they would have achieved it if they had faith. Amen. And many times that is our issue. Our issue is we say we have faith, but we only have head faith. Amen. We have faith because we know God is able, but we don't know for sure if he's going to do it for us. We don't know for sure if it is his will for us to have, do, or, you know, be whatever we are trying to get him to get us to do or be. Amen? Amen. And so we got to understand that if God is your God, the Bible says that the real and one only God, the true living God, he says that if you have faith to believe in the mustard seed, he says that you can speak to this mountain and tell it to move and be cast in the sea. Not only that, he said, have faith in God. He said, if you have faith in God, then you can say whatever you want to say and you can have whatever it is that you say. Isn't that something?
Amen.
That's the confidence of faith. And if we don't have faith, if we don't have that confidence in, you know, in God, the problem is many times we try to control it instead of letting God control it. We want God to do it when we say, how we say, and what we say, amen, and through who we say, amen. But you got to understand that Moses was told that they were going into the promised land. Abraham was told that they were going into the promised land, and God didn't do it until Joshua. Isn't that something? So God did it with who he wanted to do it with, in the time that he wanted to do it, but he still what? Did it. Amen. Amen. And so we got to get a grip on not trying to manipulate God, but just trying to obey God. Amen here. And so he said you can have whatever it is. He said if you can say it, you can have it, right? Amen. Now that's faith. That's faith. Faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11 if you want to read that. He says the evidence of things not seen, in other words, is stuff that I know I got but I haven't seen yet. So when we used to testify about being on our way to heaven and we got a mansion in the sky. We haven't seen it yet, but Jesus said it, so we know it's there. Amen. Amen. But yet we cry before we go. Okay. But here it is, Joshua going into the promised land, the children of Israel with him, and they get to the Jordan, they cross the Jordan River. The people of the land hear about it, and they begin to fear, and they begin to get afraid. And now here it is, Joshua and the children of Israel are about to go to the city called Jericho. The city called Jericho, it was a pretty big city. It was the first major city, and you got to remember something, that these children of Israel had not seen a city like this before. Jericho is believed to be one of the oldest, if not the oldest, cities in the world at this time, right? And this city had plenty of time to build up. They had plenty of time to do some things. And you got to understand that these people who are going to possess this land, they had never had nothing. They had only the wilderness. They didn't have anything. And so God is telling them, the land is your land, right? And they go to a city in which they have never seen a city because they've been around these villages, right? Because all of the people who knew what a city life was about had died. Amen. Amen. So here they are looking at something that they're about to possess that they had never seen before. Isn't that something? Isn't that like God? How he will put something before you that you've never seen before. And many times we shun it. Many times we push it off because we have not seen it like this before. But God will put something new in front of you if you can just trust him and possess it. Amen? Amen. The city of Jericho, the wall, they had two walls. One wall was an outer wall that was about 6 foot wide. And it was about 20 foot tall. And then they had a 15 foot space between that wall. And they had another wall that was about 12 foot wide and about 30 foot tall. So can you imagine them looking at this wall and saying, I know we're supposed to take this city, but Joshua, are you sure? That's when doubt, that's just like us, doubt begins to set in. Doubt begins to set in because of what we see. But the Bible declares that we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Stop looking at your condition and your situation. We have to look at this obstacle of Jericho in our life. How do we make this apply? Because we have problems also that look bigger than us. We have situations that seem like we'll never get through them. We have circumstances that seem like they're just going to be in our way always because it's always been there. Jericho had always been there, and they could not see. The people in the city couldn't see it going nowhere. You may have a problem right now that's always been in your life, but you need to know today that that's your Jericho. Come on, label it your Jericho and say, I'm going to conquer my Jericho. Whether your Jericho is sickness, whether your Jericho is some disease or some physical ailment, or whether your Jericho is some people or situations or your finances, whatever your Jericho is, today you need to say that I'm going to conquer Jericho. Maybe you're one of those people who every time you get started in something, the devil comes and he tries to swipe you out, and you got adversity and oppression and opposition, and you decide, well, I'm just not cut out for this, and I'm just going to stop. You got to understand something, that you are facing a Jericho and you can't let, because Jericho has walls, you can't let that discourage you because there's something to overcome. You can't let it discourage you. You must press forward, but also get a strategy from God. Many times we try to do things and we forget that we have to get a strategy from God. We forget that if we pray, God will give us a divine strategy to overcome. All throughout the Bible, you find that God gave them strategies to be able to overcome their enemy. And David went to the brook and got 5 smooth stones and he slung one into Goliath's forehead and he died. God gave Moses a strategy. Say, if you go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And then they let them go and we get to the Red Sea. Stretch out your rod. There always is a what? Stretch. God will not leave you without a strategy. We need to know God has a plan. Stop asking people for the plan and ask God for the plan. Oh, yeah, we ask people. We try to read it in a book. We Google it. We try to find out what somebody else did. Come on and say amen. Stop Googling and get on your knees and pray. And ask God for the right plan and the right path. The scripture says in Psalm 23, he leadeth us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So God has his name on the line, and you can't be around him messing up his name because you don't want to believe, because you're scared. Come on, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Come on, y'all. Don't have fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. We need the kind of faith that will kick fear out of our life and dispel fear. So we can't just have head faith. We got to have some heart faith. The kind of faith that won't give up. You know how when you see somebody and look like they're going through a battle, you say, man, they got a lot of heart. They just won't give up, will they? They just won't. That's the kind of faith we're supposed to have. Faith that won't give up. Faith that eventually moves mountains. Faith that causes things to happen when that need to. I wish I had somebody in here. We believe God exists, but we don't always believe God can do what he said. I'm telling the truth here. We don't always believe it because we doubt all the time. We doubt what God is able to do. But you know what the Bible says? So what if you believe? It don't matter, because guess who else believed? The devil believed, and he trembled and respect God because he know his power. So if the devil believed, you ain't done nothing just by believing. But when you put your faith in action, now you have done something. The Bible said faith without works is what? So God gave them an opportunity here. He says that I'm going to give you a strategy, and I'm not going to do it all for you, but you got to do something. Oh, you got to do something. Let's see what they had to do. The Bible says that they had to first, they had to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. He says that Joshua, let's see here. Joshua, he says he gave Joshua a strategy, because in verse 2 it said, the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. God was letting them know there is some people in there that'll fight you, but I've given them to you. There is some stuff that's going to oppose you, but that's okay. I've given them to you. There is some things that reign over there, but guess what? I've given them to you. Oh, come on and say amen. Yeah, there is some stuff that's going to be in your way and some people that are going to be in your way, but don't you fret, because Joshua, I've already given them to you. Come on and tell somebody, God has already given it to you. Now you ought to believe that today. Joshua said, Joshua said, then the Lord said unto Joshua, he said, I've given them to you, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once, thus do this 6 days. And so here it is, Joshua is getting this divine strategy. And the first thing Joshua did after he got the strategy, he went to the people who knew how to worship. He went to the priest and he went to the folks, the mighty men of valor, and he said, here's what God tells us to do. He said, God said for us to go to Jericho and march around the wall. Now, it don't sound good. Don't sound like much of a plan. But it's God's plan. I wish I had somebody here. You know, the world will tell you if you do something a different way, it'll work out better. But I guarantee you, if you do it the way God wants it done, it's going to work out for you good. But, oh, come on and say amen here. We need to know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Amen. So the first thing we got to do is we have to learn to hear. We have to learn to hear God's strategy. We got to learn to hear God's word from the person God chose to give it to you from. Amen. We got to learn how to hear, amen? And you know, it's important to hear because once I read what Jesus told his disciples, he said, be careful how you hear. How you hear. And that means that you're going to hear a lot of stuff, but you got to hear it the right way. Amen. See, we hear stuff wrong sometimes. Did I hear that right? We hear a lot of stuff wrong, and if we don't hear it right, then we'll have a misconception about what God wants us to do. Amen. We'll be like some of the people who didn't understand that, you know, playing marbles wasn't nothing wrong with it. They said marble not, but the scripture said marvel not. Because they heard it what? Wrong. Y'all laughing, but I'm serious. I had some friends that couldn't play marbles with me. Because they were of a certain denomination and they said, marvel not. I'm telling you. But they didn't understand because they heard it wrong. They got the V and the B mixed up. Amen here. Y'all with me? Y'all right? I guess we can use a little bit of a laugh. But that's true. I'm telling you because it wasn't heard right. Amen. Amen. And so somebody got wrong. Because they didn't hear it right. But the first thing we need to learn to do is learn to hear. If you notice when you read this, nobody asked Joshua, well, what time we're going to get up in the morning, when we're going to do it, and how, wait a minute, Joshua, run that by me one more time, how many steps we need to take? You don't hear all that question. You don't hear all that talk back. But today, in the day we live in, if you tell somebody something, oh, they got a million questions, then they're going to get on the telephone and they're going to call somebody and say, I don't agree with that. I just don't see why we can't do it this way. Why we got to do it that way? Because God said do it this way. Amen. Amen. Why do we have to question every little detail about everything? If we're questioning what's going on, we may be questioning God. You ever thought about that? Now, don't question God as if he don't know what he's doing. It's okay to ask God questions, but don't question him as if he don't know what he's doing. Come on and say amen. Amen. So we need to learn how to hear. He tells him, he said, and he tells the priest, he put seven priests before the ark. He said, you're going to blow the trumpets and you're going to have to be quiet and first. I know you want to play bad, but don't do it yet. You know, I know you want to play your instrument, but just wait. All right? And then he tells them, we're going to walk around the wall on the last day. We're going to do this for 6 days. And then somebody said, don't make no sense. What are we doing this for 6 days? Huh? And he said, but I don't want you to say nothing. Yeah. Huh? I want to say this. First thing we need to learn how to do is hear. The second thing we need to learn how to do is hush. Be slow to speak. Come on and say amen. Amen. We talk too much. We say too many things, and all we need to do is just hush and let God be God. He tells us to stand still and see the what? Salvation of the... If you want to see God make you free, deliver you, heal you, bless you, just stand there. Amen. We need to learn how to hush. Many times we get to talking and we turn our talking into complaining. And you can't get nothing from God complaining. We complain about everything. If we sit in and we start talking to somebody about the Lord and we talk about church, then we start complaining about other church folk. Stop the complaining. I always say move from the complaint window and go to the claim window. Instead of complaining, go claim your stuff. Lord have mercy here. We need to learn how to hush. He told him, he said, for 6 days, I don't want you to say a word. Can you imagine 6 days? The first day we walking around, I can't even talk to the guy next to me. You know that. You know people get mad if they can't talk to the person next to them. Yeah. Come on and say, man. I remember some guys that got mad. I remember some people that got mad because they busted them up and they couldn't talk to each other at work. I mean, got angry because they couldn't keep their mouth shut. Wasn't no work getting done because they talk too much. But then they want to quit because they got moved from each other. We want to talk too much. We want to tell too many things. We want to talk about too many things. We want to talk all of our business. We tell everybody else business too. Sometimes you just need to hush. If they didn't say go tell everybody, don't tell everybody. If they didn't say go tell, don't tell nobody. Just hush. Amen. If we're to do something God says do, we ain't got to explain why we're doing it. That, you know, why do you feel the need to explain every time God says do something? Why do we feel the need to explain to everybody why we're doing something? If God said do it, you don't have to explain it to nobody because God is on your side. Amen here. So he tells the people to hush, and here they are. They come up to Jericho, this city, what seemed like they can't, you know, the walls are so big, and it hadn't been conquered before. Do you have anything in your life that hadn't been conquered? Do you have some situations in your life that seem like they get the best of you? It seemed like the walls are there. And you know the thing about Jericho, remember Rahab, she was there. And she helped the spies. She hid them in her house when the people was looking for them. And she hid them. And her house was upon one of the walls there. And what they did back in the day, they would put their house on the wall. Right? They would put their house on the wall. And I imagine that 12-foot wall had her house on top. So it was 12-foot wide. And I don't know how long it was. Amen. But it was on the wall. And so they were there so that they can get something. And the people of Jericho knew that it was time for them to come. Don't you know that the enemy knows when you show up because of the anointing on you? Don't you know that the enemy knows and he can smell God on you when it's time? Amen. When you smell anointed, amen. You know you got a fragrance of God on your life. You're oozing with the anointing of God. And when you're oozing with the anointing of God, you can't get mad when people come against you because it ain't them. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But that's the devil that recognizes that you are from God. And he knows if you showed up, it's time to give something up. Let me back that up with some scripture. The Bible says when Jesus went to the land of the Gadarenes, when he went over, that there was a man that couldn't be tamed. They call him a lunatic. They call him a maniac. And he was in the graveyards, and they couldn't bind him. He was so strong that he'd break all the chains and everything. And he had a legion of demons in him. And when Jesus showed up, they started to talk because of the anointed one being there. Do you know that you're a Christian? You're anointed too. Do you know that you are the anointed of God? Do you know that that the devil can't touch you because of the anointing that God has on your life? Come on and say amen here. We need to know this. We need to understand that the enemy recognizes you when you stand in his territory. He recognizes you when you go to work because he thinks that's his territory. He recognizes you when you go to certain neighborhoods because he thinks that's his territory. He knows when you show up that you come to conquer. The Bible said that everywhere the sole of your feet shall tread, you'll call it yours. I wish I had somebody in the house that say, I'm here to conquer for the kingdom of God. I'm not here to play with you. I'm not here to patty cake with you. I'm not here to nursery rhyme with you. But I'm here to conquer for the name of the Lord. So come on here and let's tread on the serpent and the adder. Let's tread on whatever God has for us. Amen here. So we need to learn how to hear God. And we need to learn how to hush. And sometimes when you hush, you can hear. Sometimes we talk too much and we don't hear what people say. Don't you hate talking to somebody when you're trying to tell them something and they steady talking, they ain't listening to nothing you got to say. And when they do hush, they thinking of what they're going to say. They don't care what you're talking about. We need to learn to hear God. Do you know that God speaks? It's like a radio frequency. He's always speaking, but you got to dial in. You got to lock your dial on him. Amen. But we got so much going on in our mind. We got so many distractions in our life. We got social media. We got TV. We got Lifetime Movie Network. We got the housewives and all of this stuff and love and hip hop. And we got to make sure we see that stuff. And if we just take as much time as we spend watching and spending time on social media and technology and TV and entertainment, if we spend just a fraction of the time doing some prayer and listening to God and trying to hear his voice, we would become an awesome people. I wish I had somebody. We'll become awesome. We'll become people with power. You ask what happened to the power in the church? You got to ask this question. What happened to the people in the church? The power don't happen just because. The power don't happen because of the preacher. The power happens when we come together. The anointing flows when there is an agreement and a unity. But we're so busy, we can't sit in church too long. We got to go. Now, preacher, you need to hurry up. Put it in the shade. Get the humming on me and put it in the shade. Now, he done went too long. I don't go to that church over there. He preached too long. Fine. 4 hours. But we have to learn to hear God. And when you hear God, check this out. If I preach long, it's because God said a lot. So I may not give you 5, 20, and 5 like the preacher say give. Mine may be 5, 40, and 10. But we got to learn how to hear. It's important for every individual, not for me to hear for you, but for you to hear for you. My job is to give you something that will provoke you to want to hear God for yourself. To teach you so that you may be able to hear God for yourself. You should not be dependent on hearing God from me. It's good to, but you shouldn't be dependent that you say, I got to hear what he got to say, because if he don't say it, then I don't know what I'm going to do. You got to be able to go get on your knees and say, Lord, if I don't hear from nobody else, let me hear from you. Because listen to this. Job had friends that came to him and told him everything that was wrong with his life. Don't you know that Job was an upright man, so he didn't hang with no anybody. Right? So his friends thought they had a relationship with God, so they're trying to tell Job what's wrong with his life. But Job said, I need to hear from God. Oh, come on and say amen here. Because sometimes we might tell you wrong when telling you what's wrong. But God will always tell you right. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let me get back to this, and I'm going to get out of here and let you go home. We need to learn how to hear, and we need to learn how to hush. That's why he gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. We are to do twice the listening than we are to do the talking. Amen? Be swift to hear and slow to what? Speak. That's what we got to do. They heard Joshua. They heard what he said. And here it was. They said, you know, Joshua, we haven't been here before, so we don't know anyway. We just need to trust you. Amen. If you haven't been there, trust somebody to hear from God. Amen. Trust what God said, because he's there all the time. He's been there, and he's going to be there. Amen. So they got ready. They got ready. They got ready to go. And verse 5 says this. Look at what he said. And it shall come to pass that when you make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all of the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now, that said exactly what verse 20 said. Verse number 5 is the prophetic talk of God through Joshua to the people. And then verse 20 is the fulfillment of what he said. Amen. Look at how God worked this thing. If God can say it, he can do it. Amen. If God can say no weapon, he can make sure no weapon. Amen. Y'all with me today? Amen. If God can say many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him from them all, guess what? No matter what you go through, he can deliver you. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all going to sleep on me here? If God said it, he said that with the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. If he can say it, he can what? Do it. Hallelujah. But notice what he said. He said that when you make the long blast with the ram's horn. Now, that's why it's important for us to be in a position where we hear God, and then where we're quiet before God, because we got to know when to react and when to act when God says act. I wish I had somebody in here. Because if they were talking, they weren't going to be able to yell at the same time. If they were talking, they were going to miss. And you know how sometimes when people trying to get your attention and you're in the conversation with somebody and they really want your attention, say, may I have your attention, please? You still talking because you're trying to finish your conversation. They wouldn't have said or wouldn't have given the shout that they needed to give if somebody was trying to tell them about, oh, you remember we was over there in the wilderness the other day? Oh, I'm gonna finish telling you in a minute. I guess we better holler. That's not being on one accord. Now, he said, when you hear the blast, the long blast, in other words, when you hear the continued blast, when you hear the continued blast of music, when it don't stop, ah, my God, that's when you begin to shout. Now, the word